I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
I'm Jonathan Capehart, and welcome to Capehart. The Memory Librarian and Other Stories of Dirty Computer is the debut book by singer, songwriter, actor, and activist Janelle Monáe. The book takes its name from her latest album, entitled Dirty Computer. But it's a line from one of the tracks, Crazy Classic Life, that really formed the basis of our conversation.
I am not America's nightmare. I am the American dream. I get to define that on my own terms. I get to define freedom on my own terms, especially as long as I'm not hurting anybody. Like, let's redefine what the American dream looks like as well.
This conversation was first recorded on April 18th for Washington Post Live. And as you'll hear, Janelle Monáe stopped everything to make sure her shot, like her lyrics, was just perfect. Janelle Monáe, welcome to the Capehart podcast on Washington Post Live.
Hi, thank you so much for having me.
Before we talk about your book takes its name from your latest album entitled Dirty Computer.
Hold on, let me get situated. We're going to go a little off script. Really love this back. Clothes in the back. We're going to get real, real right now. Okay. I think that's
you
a
ready?
Little bit. I feel like that's a little better, but I'm in a hotel in New York, so I'm trying to make it work how it needs to work.
You still look glam. You still look glam.
I'm like, all these clothes in the background, I'm so OCD when it comes to that. But go ahead. What was your question?
All right. So your book takes its name from your latest album entitled Dirty Computer. But before we talk about the book, we have to talk about the albums, and I still call them albums, upon which Dirty Computer stands. The Arch Android, which is my favorite of your albums, and The Electric Lady. Am I wrong in thinking that put together, they represent the arc of your artistry and storytelling that culminates now in your book, The Memory Librarian?
Yeah, I think that they all complement where I am right now. You know, I'm honestly just getting started with music, with writing, with film, with TV. And every time I go to the drawing board, you know, with an idea or something new, it feels like a new life. It feels like a new me.
What do you mean by Dirty Computer?
Dirty computers are incredible beings, so complex, so nuanced. We are artists living on our own terms, redefining what it means to create. We are, you know, coming into this world, into marginalized communities. And a lot of us are in the LGBTQIA plus communities, Black, brown. And we challenge the status quo. We challenge the people that say that our very existence should be second class, or you can't even talk about, you know, we challenge those people who say, like a Greg Abbott, who says, we can't even talk about the LGBTQIA plus communities in our books, race and, you know, critical race theory. Like, we're not here to assimilate. We are here to stay rooted in our authenticity. And that is what this book is about. This is hope for the people in my communities that I feel like have been pushed to the back of the line when it comes to just being taken care of and being seen. And the fact that they're very, in this moment, this book is so, it's sci-fi, right? But it's so meta because it speaks a lot to some of the themes and the horrific acts that we're dealing with right now in today's society.
You know, Ms. Monáe, I had a series of questions about Greg Abbott and DeSantis for later in the interview, but you brought it up. So I'm going to jump in there, especially because you touched on something I was going to ask you later. And that is, you know, your songs and this, your albums and this book, they're all sort of the scaffolding is science and sci-fi and futurism. But when you listen to the lyrics and listen to what you're talking about, it's all set in the here and now, in the present. And just as an artist, I'm wondering, why use futurism as a way of getting into your storytelling, as opposed to just being flat out, it's 2022, and here are the issues we're talking about, and I'm going to deal with them head on?
Is it art imitating life, or is it life imitating art? That is the question.
That is indeed the question. You know, you just said a moment ago, when talking about dirty computers, we're not here to assimilate. And there was a time in this country when assimilation was what you needed to do, what you must do in order to live out the American dream, however you define that. Do you think that that idea, that overarching idea that used to blanket the country, assimilation, is gone?
No, it's not gone. I think that generations before me, I'll just speak to like my great grandmother's and my grandmother's generation, you know, they went through a lot to get a home, to be, you know, looked at as like good citizens. But I'm not for, they paved the way so that our generation didn't have to assimilate. Mm-hmm. I want to show up as my authentic Black queer ass everywhere I go. Don't get it twisted just because you see me in a tuxedo, or, you know, I won't allow projection to define who I am. It's always been about freedom. It's always been about, you know, walking through this world, creating the art that I want to create without somebody telling me, oh, you should do it this way, or you should do it that way, or this is how artists that look like you write music, what you should do. I mean, I'm living outside the binary, and I'm encouraging everybody to live outside of that binary as much as they can. This is not the era to assimilate. This is just like, we're not on that. Yeah.
How hard is it then to live your authentic self, given the world that we're in? How hard is it for you to stand up to those folks in your business in particular, who say to you, you know what, if you really want to succeed in music, or if you really want to succeed in films, you have to sing in this such a way, or you have to act in this such a way?
Well, I dealt with that like at the beginning of my career, and now I'm a little more soft. I felt like I had to come into this industry and prove that I could do this, and I can do that, I can do this, you won't box me in. And I kind of fought a lot. You know, coming into my career. Now I'm in the most, I have nothing to prove space. I'm following my gut. I'm doing the types of things that I move by and I believe in. And I'm giving myself that permission. I'm not seeking permission. I'm not trying to be validated or prove anything, you know? So I think that I'm at a different place in my life, but there are just people in everyday life that may not have those options. And I just hope that when they're reading this book and when they, you know, just see me living my life, that maybe it's some inspiration and encouragement to remind them that this is this one life as we know it on earth, right? We don't know what we're going to come back into, but make the most of it. Stay present, find good people you can laugh with, you can experience this life with, and do the things that you want to do. Do them. Even if they don't, you know, come out how you like, you can always look back and say, but I took a risk on me. I bet it on myself.
You know, listening to your answer there, it took me back to your song, Crazy, Crazy Classic Life, where that's what that, and particularly in the video, that's what that is all about, living that crazy classic life. And there's a line in there that is very, very pointed, but speaks to what you were just talking about, is you saying, I am not America's nightmare, I am the American dream. Talk about the power in being able to articulate that, say it out loud for everybody to hear.
Yes, I am not America's nightmare. I am the American dream. I am. I get to define that on my own terms. And that's what I love about Afrofuturism in this book, is that we see ourselves, Black and brown people, we get to determine these things on our own terms. We get to say how we thrive in the future. We get to talk about it. We don't have people discussing our narratives that haven't lived them, that don't know the stories that have been passed down generations to generations to generations of us, that we are telling ourselves to remain sane. They don't know those things. And so I think that the American dream is defined by us. You know, it shouldn't be because of what white folks have done and been able to do. If we're doing what they're doing, then we're living the American dream. No, the American dream could be to somebody, I want to smoke my weed. I want to be able to drive without being pulled over. I want to, provide for my family and take our family on trips without being racially profiled. I want to run up and down the street naked without people thinking that I'm, you know, that my body is their body. I get to define freedom on my own terms, especially as long as I'm not hurting anybody. Like, let's redefine what the American dream looks like as well.
Right. You know, talk about the people and stories that are in the Memory Librarian. How did you gather them, and why was it important to tell the variety of stories that are in it?
Well, you know, because the Memory Librarian is inspired from the same soil as Dirty Computer, I had so much to work with. I mean, this is a project that is centered around memories being erased, literally, like the New Dawn, this corrupt totalitarian regime taking people's memories, making them become versions of people that they want them to be. They want them to assimilate, so they'll manipulate them, take their memories, and give them new identity. And so this is a story of Black and brown folks, queer community, like pretty much all of the leads in here are in of the communities that I care so much about, and they win, they prevail. Like, this is just a reminder that throughout history, you can try, but we will prevail. The uprising will always happen. You can't erase us. We can't be erased. Our stories will never be erased. We will figure out a way to come back to the dirt that is us. We are of dirt, right? Mm-hmm. And so I collaborated with five incredible writers. I collaborated with Danny Lohr on a short story called Nevermind. I collaborated with Aliyah Don Johnson on The Memory Librarian, Cherie Renee Thomas on Time Box Altered, Evel Ewing on Time Box. And I also collaborated with, I have one more story that I'm missing that is just so near and dear to my heart. Oh, Yohanka Delgado on Save Changes. And so this is a group of Black and brown writers who, please check out their work if you can, but it got inspired from a thought experiment. I was like, what if in the world of Dirty Computer, there was a memory librarian? Memory librarian who knew everybody's memories, who knew all of the town's past identities. What does that mean, though, when the memory librarian wants to fall in love? What do you do when you know everybody's secrets? And also, being someone who does find a love interest in Alethea in this story, she also gets brought back to her past and who she was before she became a memory keeper. And then there was another story called Time Box. What does it mean to reclaim your time, literally? If there was a time box, a room in your apartment that you didn't know exist, but you found out when you walked into this room that time stopped. You could really make time stop. And this speaks to time poverty. This speaks to, like, all of the time that we lose fighting against white supremacy, fighting against racism, fighting against classism, all of that. And you're out on the streets marching. How are you using that time? Are you resting? Are you having sex? Are you telling the rest of the community about this place? Like, what does that mean? And so it really started from these kind of thought experiments.
Talk more about Alethea, whose full name is Alethea 56934. And you say her number indicates a known deviance, but also that she has been cleared for full reintroduction to society. What does that mean in this world of the Dirty Computer that she has been cleared for full reintroduction to society?
Well, I don't want to give away too much of the story, but Alicia is a trans woman. And Alicia, in our stories, it's not like we live, we exist. Nobody is made to feel, you know, less than. And this story really does speak to the trans experience. It speaks to love within that experience and how two people are disconnected with their hearts.
I've always struggled with finding time to manage my finances. At the end of a busy week, the last thing I want to do is spend time budgeting all of my expenses or tracking down customer service teams to cancel old subscriptions I no longer use. But now I use Rocket Money, and it does all that for me. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so you can grow your savings. Stop wasting money on the things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/Washington Post. That's rocketmoney.com/Washington Post.
What's happening in the country right now, particularly when it comes to the trans community, and particularly to young trans people, with states passing laws that criminalize their parents and doctors for providing them with gender-affirming care. One state, which escapes my mind right now, was going to make it illegal for parents to go out of state to find that care for their children. What do you make of what's happening in this country when it comes to trans rights and transgender Americans' rights to be free and live their lives free of harassment?
I think it's awful. I think it's awful from every angle for you to tell somebody who they are and try and control somebody's body, their mind. Like, how are you going to tell somebody who they are better than they can tell themselves who they are? Kids know who they are. They know who they are. Like, I have a niece and a nephew, and they were showing us things about themselves, you know, at a very young age. And I think that is just wrong. And I have lots of trans friends and family and people I love and care about. And I just want to say sorry. You know, I'm so sorry that this is being your life experience. That you're not being taken care of in the way that you should as a human being. Trans rights are human rights, period.
You know, let's talk more about this, because whether it's race, gender identity, sexual orientation, we also know that multiple states have introduced legislation to prevent even discussion of these issues, whether it's the Don't Say Gay bill in Florida or the countless number of, of pieces of legislation looking to do away with or end quote unquote critical race theory from being taught in schools, which is not, it's not being taught in schools at all outside of particular law school classes at particular universities. But what does it say to the LGBTQIA plus community, to communities of color, that there are elected officials who are actively trying to erase them from the history books, from the classrooms, and as a result of doing that, erasing them from society?
You just said it. Literally trying to erase us from history, present, and future, and from society. It's been happening. And unless we stand up as human beings and fight back against it, it's going to continue to happen. We cannot get lazy with this.
And so then, well, I like the fact to say we can't get lazy with this, because there are a lot of people, a lot of activists out there who are frustrated and, you know, understandably frustrated and angry that after, you know, getting rid of Donald Trump in the White House and electing a Democratic president, President Biden and Vice President Harris, that, you know, they thought voting rights and criminal justice reform and police reform and other priorities of the community would get done. And here we are a year and a half, and there's been no progress on any of those issues. What do you say to young people and young activists who feel that, you know, I'm so frustrated, I'm just going to sit home when it comes time to vote in the midterm elections in November?
I mean, I think their frustrations are rightfully so. I think that if you need a break, you need a break. Take a break. But just know that, you know, we're all like the people hold the power. We hold the power. We get to say who should be in office, who shouldn't. You know, we can say, okay, this next go around, I'm going to vote for this person, or I thought that voting for this person was a thing to do, but maybe not. But I'm big on local elections, like senators, like on a local level, understanding, I think that people have to get more engaged with that. Because these are the people who are advocating for your communities in a more focused way. It's more bottom up and less top down. So get really invested in the local elections if you can, and rest when you need to rest.
You know, that sounds, getting involved in local elections. John Legend was here on the KPART podcast on Washington Post Live, and he had that very same message. I mean, he even went even deeper local. He was like, vote in the district attorney races. Yeah. Vote for local judges.
Please, Linda,
you're a co-chair of When We All Vote, which was created by former First Lady Michelle Obama and has now merged with Civic Nation, which is chaired by Valerie Jarrett. Why has voting rights become such an important cause for you?
I think because I know that systemically things have to change in order for us to see real change. Like, we have to get in office the people who are going to be advocating for the communities that we love and care about. And you can do that. That's one way to do that, and that's through voting.
You also formed an initiative called Femme the Future, which empowers female filmmakers. Talk more about that.
Yeah, women, non-binary artists who want to be behind the scenes in production, TV and film and music, engineering, all of that. You know, I just want to give more opportunities to them. I think we're out there, they're out there, but not really being able to like work on a high professional level. And I think that that's a big problem and an oversight in our industries. And I'm trying to do whatever I can to help make that happen.
You've touched on this in various answers, but it seems this Nina Simone quote has come up in many interviews that I've done, because it seems to be a driving force among many artists of color, particularly African Americans. Nina Simone once said, "An artist's duty is to reflect the times." You have even cited this. Why? How do you see your role in today's times through your art?
I think that that quote is a beautiful quote. I think that right now for me, I'm in a space where I'm the most carefree, I don't have anything to prove space. I've also spent a significant amount of my career reflecting the times. And, you know, yeah, if you listen to my music, you will know when I came in, very serious. I am at the point now in my life where I am celebrating. If we're not talking about vacation, I really don't want to talk. Like, I realize that with white supremacy, with sexism, all these isms, everything, there has to come a moment where, as a human being, I'm existing and I'm enjoying life. And I'm not distracted from enjoying my life because of that. I will continue to fight. I will continue to stand with. I will also continue to find joy. I will also continue to give my rest. I will also continue to thrive and do it unapologetically. So that is my form of resistance and rebellion. And I'm into it. I'm here for it.
You know who you sound like, Ms. Vomey? This is interesting. You sound like my one of my dearest friends, Tamron Hall. But you also have a person in common, and that is Prince. You have said Prince's spirit will never leave you. And I can totally hear his influence in your 2018 song, Make Me Feel. How does his spirit stay with you today?
It's just, we're just forever connected. You know, Prince is genius and never allowed his mystery to get in the way of his mentorship. And for that, you know, when I think about Femme the Future and everything I'm doing with Wonderland and ushering in new artists and collaborating with new artists, and when I think about all of that, I always think about him and how he was a giver. You know, he used his gifts to give. And he also was somebody who knew that this journey in life is much bigger than him. And I know that all of this is much bigger than me. And I know that I was sent here for a very specific reason. And just thinking about him reminds me of that all the time. And I can hear his voice reminding me of his voice.
You know, one of the things that I take away from your music, but now having this extended conversation with you, I take away from just talking with you, is that there is a strength, an inner strength to you and to everything that you say, that I'm sure there's some people out there who are watching, who admire and love you, who want to know, where does that strength come from and how can they replicate that in their own lives if that is something that they're desperate to find for themselves so that they can achieve the dreams that they want to achieve?
I was sent here from the future. So I will say that I think I was sent here to heal from the future. Mm-hmm. And not I think, I know. And so a lot of how I am and who I am right now has been, I've been through like a trial of experiences. You know, I've had to heal from rejection. I've had to heal from abandonment. I've had to heal from just personal things that give me the amount of wisdom that I have to be able to know that I shouldn't be spending my time here, but this is where I need to be spending my time. I had it all wrong. And so I'm just giving you life's hacks when I'm talking. You can either listen or not. I mean, some of the things that I'm saying, I didn't used to believe in. I believed in them, but I wasn't living them, rather. I believed in them, but I wasn't living them. Now I'm actually living what I'm saying. I'm living what I'm saying.
Your book tour is starting. Your book comes out tomorrow. Your book tour starts tomorrow. You're going to be in Washington at 6th and I before a live audience. What does it mean to engage fans and readers in person, especially after being hunkered down because of this pandemic?
Oh, I'm so excited. This is my first tour. I haven't been in New York. Like I came here a couple months ago, but I hadn't been in since 2019. I hadn't been in DC since like 2018, 2019 when I was on tour. So this is a memory, like be your own memory librarian. What kind of memories are we making? Are you making? That's really my message. How can we make the best memories? Because our memories will determine the quality of the lives we live. So I look forward to seeing everyone there.
That is a great message to live on, because as I get older, I too am all about, is this going to bring me memories that will sustain me when the times are not so hot and happy?
That's it. We are our memory. Mm-hmm. That's it.
Janelle Monae, author of The Memory Librarian and Other Stories of Dirty Computer, thank you so much for coming to KPART on Washington Post Live.
Thank you. You are lovely. Have a wonderful day.
Thanks for listening to KPART. It's produced by Julie Deppenbrock. We'll have new episodes for you every Tuesday. I'm Jonathan Capehart. You can find me on Twitter at CapehartJ.
The best conversations I have with my colleagues are the ones that happen when no one is looking, when we're not 100% sure yet what to write.
Hopefully, having conversations like this can help you figure out your own point of view. That's kind of our job as Washington Post opinions columnists. I'm Charles Lane, Deputy Opinion Editor.
And I'm Amanda Ripley, a contributing columnist. We're going to bring you into these conversations on a new podcast called Impromptu.
Follow Impromptu now, wherever you listen.